Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Hebrews chapter number 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read all the way down through verse number 14 here this morning. If there's any children like to head down to Ridge Kids, you're more than welcome to head that way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1, we'll begin reading. So the writer of Hebrews writes this, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." We've been spending some time going through Scripture, looking at certain instances where God tells us what his will is. And many times we have those questions in our minds, such as, you know, where should I work? Where should I live? Whom I should marry, right? Things like that. And sometimes those things are kind of hard to figure out. Those things can be hidden. But as we pray and as we follow God's word and we follow his leading, God usually reveals those things step by step, moment by moment. But there are certain things in Scripture that I would call is the revealed will of God. And these are things that are expressly tells us exactly what God's will is for our lives. Now, here in Hebrews, God expressly tells us some things about his will for our lives is the fact that Jesus sanctifies us. That's God's will for our life, is that Jesus would sanctify us. You know, when we did talk a little bit about the whole thing about sanctification a few weeks ago in regards to our sexual purity, and that we should be set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. It means to be set apart, okay, to stay apart from something. And so we were called, God's will for our life is to be set apart from sexual immorality. But here, Scripture specifically tells us that Jesus is the one who sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He makes us holy in that sense. Take a look again with me at verse number 10 and verse number 14 here, because I want you to see how God does this. It tells us here, and by that will, we have been sanctified, notice, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 14, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. He's making you holy. He's setting you apart. And all that's happened through the body of Jesus. And so God is communicating to us that it is his will that we have been sanctified, been made holy, and he's sanctifying us. He's making us holy. This is God's will for our lives. Now, he does all this through the body of Jesus. I want you to just stick that, if you can, in your mind. Stick that in your mind. Because we're going to revisit that over and over here again through as we go through the scriptures here. Because when we think about that, our holiness, our sanctification is not something that we do. Our sanctification, our holiness is something that God does. And it's through the body, it's through the offering of Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, we can sometimes treat our sanctification like a byproduct and remove the importance of what Jesus has actually done. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. God's will is that I'm sanctified not by what I do or don't do, but by where I am. God's will for my life is that I am sanctified not by what I do or don't do, but by where I am. So let's break some of these scriptures down here. Number one, drawing near to God is impossible without sanctification. Hebrews is packed with several references going back to the Old Testament, referring back to things such as the priesthood and the tabernacle and sacrifices and all those things that we read about in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, all of those things that sometimes we read through and we're like, I'm just a little fuzzy on everything that happened and why they were doing it. Hebrews is jam-packed with references going back to that Old Testament sacrificial system. And all of those things that were done back then, they had meaning, they had impact. But as the writer of Hebrews says here, he says, for since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form. And so all of those things, the priest and the tabernacle and the sacrifices, the law, all of that was pointing and saying, this is not it. It's to come. Jesus. He is the shadow. Those things are but a shadow of the things to come instead of the true form. And so they were all pointing to Christ. When we read through the Old Testament, even from the beginning of Genesis, it was always about God dwelling with his creation. Now, if we go back, right, to Genesis, what do we see? We see Adam and Eve there in the garden. God was dwelling with his creation, and what happened? Adam disobeyed. And because of that disobedience, God gave them the boot, right? They were booted out of the garden. And now, God has been separated. God has separated. He has made himself holy, right, from sin, and he has separated himself from his people. And the only way that they could now have that communication is they had to be invited in, right? And we see several instances of that. You have Abraham, right? God calls Abraham, 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 right? Here, come follow me, right? He establishes this covenant with him. He says, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I'm going to bless you, all of these things. We fast forward. What do we see later on? We see Moses, right? Moses, he's there, he's in the wilderness, and God speaks to him out of a burning bush. And remember what God told Moses? He said, take your shoes off, because you're standing, where you're standing is what? Holy ground. And so, yeah, Moses took his shoes off. Now, it wasn't the fact that that ground itself was holy all the time. God made that ground holy because that's where God was. And then what do we see later, right? We see after Moses and they come out of Egypt, Moses goes up to the Mount Sinai, spends 40 days up there on the mountain. On the mountain, there's thunder, right? There's lightning. The ground is shaking. Smoke is descended upon, fire of God has descended upon that mountain. Why? Because God had descended upon that mountain. And God told Moses, he said, tell the children of Israel, he said, do not even touch the mountain. Don't even come near the mountain. Why? Because it is holy. God had made that mountain holy. Moses goes up on that mountain, spends 40 days up there. What does he get from them? Good, okay. Spends 40 days up there with him. And as he is up there for 40 days, he gets the covenant, right? He gets the Ten Commandments. He gets the details about the tabernacle. And then they're going to build the tabernacle. They build the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, what happens? God dwells with his people. Okay? And everything that you look at in the tabernacle, right? You have the Holy of Holies. You have the holy place, right? You have all of the priests and all of this stuff, right? All of this stuff was pointing to Jesus Christ. And nobody could draw near to God unless they were sanctified. They had to be made holy. And so drawing near to God is impossible without sanctification. Now, if there's one purpose of all of this, of what God was doing and everything, and even in the tabernacle and all this, okay, don't miss this. The tent was the one place in the world where the holy God dwelt on earth in order that he might make his people holy. God literally camped with them. And if we capture that and allow that to take root in our hearts and to understand this, we can understand how important Jesus coming in the flesh really was. Is what John chapter 1 says, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We understand how important it is that God dwells with his people. We understand how important it is to be a part of the church and the purpose of the church. And we understand how important it is to be sanctified through the body of Jesus, which is part of our free gift of salvation. The tabernacle was a way for the Israelites to encounter the true and living God. And he did all of this through sanctification. There's no doubt about it. I mean, can you imagine if you were living around during that time and you saw this massive group of people, and as they're going through the desert and there's a pillar of cloud, right, by daytime, and then this giant pillar of fire by night. And people see armies leveled. They see cities, walled cities just fall down. They see miracles take place. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure that the surrounding nations would think, where is your God, Israel? He dwells in that tent right there. He's there. And so God used all of this, and it was a powerful, powerful example of God and what he was capable to do. And so the tabernacle was a way for God to sanctify his people so that they could dwell among him and be in his presence. And so without sanctification, without God making you holy, you could not draw near to God at all. Hebrews here reminds us of this, that these sacrifices that were offered every year could never make you perfect. Look what he says here, right? He says, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered year, every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so I think we lose the wonder of our salvation when we forget how holy God really is. He is holy, holy, holy. And we cannot be in his presence. We cannot draw near to him if what? If we have not been sanctified. And so we have to be sanctified through him. God takes the initiative. He came to dwell among us in fleshly form and provided a way for us to draw near to him through sanctification. Let's look at a second thing here. Secondly, God's will is for you to be holy, to be sanctified by God through Jesus. This is God's will for our life. Let's look at the connection now. You see it, verse number 5? Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. And so we have now, instead of the people bringing sacrifices and offerings which God does not desire or is not pleased with, what do we have now? We have Christ who has come to us. We cannot come to God. Why? Because we are unholy. But Christ now has provided the way possible. God is holy. We are unholy. But now God comes to us in a fleshly body through Jesus. And what does he do? He provides the way. He makes it possible for us to dwell among him. Jesus tabernacled, right, with his own people in his own body. God dwelt among them. You and I have no holiness apart from God sanctifying us or making us holy. Back in the Old Testament days when they had that tabernacle, the Israelites knew that the only way they could be near God was that they had to be sanctified. They had to have that. And God was the only one that could make them holy. The closer, the nearer they came to God, the more they had to be sanctified, the more holy they had to be. This is important to think about because how we tend to think of holiness or sanctification is some type of spiritual commodity, something that we do. In other words, we think that we can obtain this holiness or sanctification in greater quantities if you're willing to put forth the effort in things. You say, well, like what? Well, for example, don't live a life of pleasure. Read through your Bible every year. You got to pray, fast, attend worship gatherings, attend Bible studies. Otherwise, if you don't do those things, what's going to happen? Well, your sanctification is going to grow stagnant. You're not going to be as holy as you should be. Now, don't misunderstand me here. All those things are important. I believe that they are important. Reading your Bible, praying, fasting, going to church, Bible study, all those things are important, and I think that you should do those things. And they're good things to do, okay? But never think that sanctification, the holiness that God gives you, is some type of spiritual commodity that you can obtain by doing these good things. Our sanctification is a gift. That is why salvation is so awesome. It's nothing that we have done. And our sanctification, our holiness, is a gift. Again, looking back at the Old Testament, we can draw these spiritual conclusions about our sanctification by seeing what happened with the Israelites and how they were sanctified. The people of Israel knew that the closer that you got to God, the more sanctified you had to be. And it's illustrated even in the tabernacle. Think about this, okay? Most of us are pretty familiar with the tabernacle, right? So you got that tent, right? What was the hotbed? What was the center of that tabernacle? What was it? The Holy of Holies, the Ark, right? Okay, that was it. Now, there was only one person that could go into that place, right? And only one time a year. Okay? Because if you didn't, right, you're dead. You're done. But as you moved out from that place, you were in the holy place, right? There was the table of showbread. There was the candlestick, all that stuff. And then even as you moved out of there, right, you're at the door. And then you come out a little bit farther, and you get where? You get where the laver was, right? The washing basin, right? You get out a little bit further, and now you're at the door of the courtyard, right? All those panels, right? It's not as holy. So the closer that you get, the more holy, the more sanctified you needed to be, okay? We even see that in the materials that God told them to use. For example, in the most holy place, what kind of material was in there? Gold. You get all the way outside where the courtyard is, and the laver, what was that made out of? Bronze. Not as holy. How about the garments that the priest wore? All the priests wore garments, but the high priest, his garments were different. They were more costly material, more decorative material, right? And what you need to understand, God is the one that sanctified these people. God is the one that made those clothes sanctified. God is the one that made those items in the tabernacle sanctified. He made them holy. Okay? And it was a gift. That's what God did. And so God's will is for you to be holy, sanctified by God. And so remember, holiness or sanctification is a gift. Now, don't miss a crucial point here. All the things that were holy there, the holy priest, the holy clothes, the holy sacrifices, the holy altar, the holy people, all of these were holy not by nature. It wasn't because they did something. It was because God made them holy. It was a gift. Now, if you're thinking, Mike, what you're saying, that holiness is a gift and it's not something that we do, then what about the verse in Leviticus 27 that commands us, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy? So how can you talk about holiness or sanctification as being a gift? Because doesn't Scripture command us to actually do something to be holy? Well, the very next verse in Leviticus 28, actually, God follows, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He follows this up by saying, I, the Lord, am the one who sanctifies you. In other words, I've made you that way, so be who you are. If God has made you holy, then be holy. Live that way. Do those things. Be who you are, is what God is telling us to do. And God's will is for us is that we are sanctified, that we actually live this way. And so here in Hebrews, this is just mind-blowing to think about that. It is God's will that Jesus sanctifies us. God knows that those repeated sacrifices aren't enough for us to draw near to Him. Because look what He says, right? Consequently, when Christ came to the world, He said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you've taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He says, you don't take any pleasure in those sacrifices. That's not what's going to do it. That's not what's going to make me holy. But we are sanctified through the body and the death of Jesus. Look how verse number 9 ends. He, Jesus, does away with the first in order to establish the second. The first is the old covenant, which involved daily animal sacrifices, rituals, and all of that stuff that could never permanently take away sin, that could never, ever really make us holy. It's not possible. But the second is the new covenant that was initiated through the sacrifice of His body. Now, if you're getting thoughts coming back into your mind, right, like things such as, like even what Jesus said, remember as they're around the table with His disciples the night before He's to be crucified, what does Jesus say? Take, right? Here's my body given for you. Here's the blood, the new covenant. Jesus initiated all of this stuff. And it's those things. It's Christ is who makes us holy. And so this was the sacrifice of His body. Verse number 10, it says, "And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And so this is, Jesus is fulfilling God's will for our lives and the fact that He is sanctifying us through His death, what He did on the cross. Let's look at the last thing here. Stay close to Jesus who sanctifies you. Again, the writer of Hebrews takes us back to the Old Testament, to the priests, to the sacrifices, to the tabernacle, all these things. Look what he says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." The high priest was the only one allowed to enter into the most holy place. And remember, it was the epicenter of holiness, right? Nobody else could go in, only the high priest. And God sanctified them as a gift in order so that they could do this. And so here's, if you can just get this picture in your mind, this image in your mind, here's the high priest. He has the blood, and he takes it into the most holy place, and he sprinkles it on the altar, right? The mercy seat, right? He does that on the day of atonement, Yom Kippur, right? He's doing these things. Now, no matter how perfectly he did that, no matter how reverently he did those things, no matter how perfectly the children of Israel outside were worshiping and praying and all those things, no matter how perfectly they did all those things, that priest would have to do that every single year again and again and again forever and ever and ever and ever and ever over and over and over and over and they had to do that. This is why Jesus and what he did is so awesome. Because the scripture says, what did Jesus do? As the high priest, he took his own blood, right? And where did he go? Did he go into the tabernacle? Oh, he went to the tabernacle in heaven, right? He goes in there, right? And where does he offer the blood? On the mercy seat that's in heaven, right? And what does he do? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we've been perfected. We've been sanctified. The system itself was not perfect. It was not complete. It was imperfect and insufficient to provide the atonement that was needed. And Christ is the one that makes it perfect. Jesus is the one that makes it sufficient. Jesus is the one that makes it possible for us to be sanctified. God has sanctified us not because of something that we've done. It is His will. We've been sanctified through the body of Jesus. We experience that sanctification through our salvation. We grow in that sanctification as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we gather on Sundays like today, what are we doing? We're here to worship the true and risen Lord, the one who sanctifies us. He dwells in us not because of something that we have done, but because it is a gift. And the closer we draw to Jesus, the more and more we will be sanctified. And so I guess the true question really that we have to ask ourselves is, how close do we want to be to Jesus? Are we content living on the outskirts? Or do we want to be near the very presence of Christ? The closer you get to Him, the more He's going to sanctify you. What does that look like in our lives? Sometimes that means that God removes things out of our lives. Sometimes that means that God uses certain things to draw us in closer and closer to Him. And it's all a gift. And so stay close to Jesus, because without Him, what does Jesus even say? You can do nothing at all. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.